know what happens to Erica when she gets drunk, but she suddenly becomes like the world's oracle.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Reality Rap. I am here with the leader of our new house band, Sideshow Sean.
Hi everyone, how are we doing tonight?
He put that little intro together from clips from last night's episode.
Well, I was inspired by the lead, the boss here, and she definitely was there helping me note by note, so thank you very much. It was a lot of fun.
Honestly though, not in a million years would I have been able to mix that. Just watching all the shit that goes in it, I was like, okay, I'm out.
Hey, and not an endorsement, but we did that on bandlab.com in like an hour.
I was like, it was not 5 minutes.
In like an hour.
You said it was going to be 5 minutes.
That was the only way I was going to get you to sit down.
And it was like an hour.
So. If I was like, this is going to take 90 minutes, you would have been like, yeah, we're not doing
it. Yeah,
this.
We're not going to do that. Let's just go record.
I'd have you committed after the first 5 or 10 minutes.
Anyways, we are here to obviously record last night's episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, season 13, episode 14. And I have to say, I love drunk Erica.
I do. I mean, I like sober Erica too, but drunk Erica might just be the one. Yeah.
She's the oracle.
She is the oracle. Oh, she's crazy. Gosh. Yeah.
She was cracking me up at that dinner last night. Oh.
She will speak her mind. That's for sure.
Yeah, and she will show her mind and how intellectual she is.
No, she literally said, I don't give a shit, and then said whatever she wanted to say.
Anyways, yeah, we also got to see Anne Marie a little bit more in action.
Oh, hold on now.
Oh, okay.
Let me ask a question here, because I know that I, too, have someone not been the biggest fan of Anne Marie, but don't know that I was quite in the same dark alley you were in.
I'm still there.
Okay. Well, let me ask. Remember, I saw her seated and you were like, no, she was. Turns out she was sitting and patting her last episode. And now we see clearly a very different side. So what are your thoughts now, my friend?
Okay. Yes. So last episode, I was like, I can't believe she just sauntered over there so slowly. She's a medical professional. She had no sense of urgency. And Sean was like, I don't know. I think it's the way it was clipped together. Because if you see, she's standing, then she's sitting, and then she's standing, and then she's sitting. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so. And then he made me go back and watch it. And I was like, okay, yeah, I guess you're right. And then obviously she...
We served a white gravy with that crow that evening, and it was delicious.
She took the task, and I'll say she went up a tiny bit in my
book.
Well,
that is one time that you had to admit that to my 900 times that I've had to admit it, my housewife sensei.
There you go.
Thank you.
So I don't think you knew about this.
I probably did not.
I don't think I talked to you about it. So everybody has been talking about how Morgan Wade has scrubbed all the photos of Kyle off of her Instagram. And they're also saying that Kyle has done the same and scrubbed photos of Morgan Wade from her Instagram. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go.
I remember you saying that the one way last night and you thought that was because of the album coming out, right?
Right. So I went and I checked out Morgan Wade's Instagram and it has been scrubbed. There's literally two photos on it and both of them are related to her music. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go on to Kyle's Instagram. And I found lots of photos of Morgan Wade still on Kyle's Instagram and they still follow each other on Instagram. So I don't think it had anything to do with them having any sort of fallout or anything. I think that she might have an album or something that's coming out, and so she's doing it more from a PR thing.
Headlines are like fish.
Well, it wasn't headlines.
You only give it 3 days before it ripens.
Right. It also wasn't headlines. It was like rumors on the internet. It was people speculating.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I don't know. I don't think it's any indication of them having a fallout or whatever. I also don't think they were actually in a romantic relationship either. There might have been like some girl crush going on, but I don't think they were in a relationship.
Honestly, at that level, you know, that's kind of their business.
It is. And I don't really care.
I know it's
a
reality show, but you're going through whatever they're going through right now. I think we can draw a boundary and say, all right, that's for you. We'll watch everything else.
Well, and then also people were reading into right around the same time that Morgan scrubbed her Instagram account, Kyle was photographed wearing a big coat that said Umansky on the back of it. Yeah. It had Mo's last name. And I'm like, well, her daughter's last names are also Umansky. So it very well could have been she was wearing it. Right. For one of her kids I didn't really read into that at all. I don't know at this point how her and Mo would stay together if, like, him being and filming with these girls out in Aspen and spraying champagne on the girl in the bar with his shirt off.
Right.
That doesn't mean he did anything, but that behavior was definitely crossing the line. Not grounds for divorce by any means, but I think Kyle would probably...
I think they're both behaving badly. Seem to, rather than spending their energy working on themselves, they were working on career. She was working on finding herself. I mean, right. They were working on themselves individually as opposed to themselves as a couple.
Right.
And that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is.
And it happens. When the kids are gone, right?
Yeah, Portia's 15. They're empty nesting. Or 16.
So they're effectively, effectively getting ready to empty nest.
A 15 or a 16-year-old. While they still need you, they're more independent, especially if they can drive on their own.
Right. Now she'll have two big houses to live in. So, I mean, she's going to have the emotional angst, and that sucks. But at least it's not like a lot of people go through. You know, she only has to really deal with the one problem.
Yeah.
So it sucks. It definitely sucks.
So the reunion filmed last week, and the rumor is that Kathy Hilton made an appearance, which... Again, after watching Paris in Love, I'm like, Kathy Hilton is a monster.
No, you know what? And I'm going to say it again. I hope that monster got her hug.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did say that.
I did. Every monster needs a hug. Even the monsters.
They're also saying that Sutton and Kyle are no longer speaking after the reunion. I don't know where that came from, so I have no idea whether it's true or not. It does look like the reunion is going to air on February, or part one of the reunion is going to air on February 28th. And they're going to be three parts, according to Internet Movie Database. You're done. You're out. Goodbye.
Who, me?
No, the dog.
Okay,
oh, good. My gosh, you guys. The dog brought a ball into my office and literally has been chasing it, rolling it, and banging into the wall. So if you're hearing all these bangs while I'm talking, it's Odin.
But to be clear, folks, I needed to make sure she meant the dog.
Okay, whatever.
I'm just kidding.
All right, enough of the silliness. Let's go ahead and do this recap. This episode starts out with the continuation of Crystal's medical emergency. Anne Marie does step up to the plate and help Crystal. She has her lie down because she's worried that Crystal might become hypertensive and stroke out. She says that like right in front of Crystal, and Kyle's like, what are you doing?
And that's where you're kind of happy for the experience, but maybe wondering about the bedside manner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she wasn't in a hospital setting. She was in the back of a van. So
at least you didn't go eyeball to eyeball with her and scream, you're going to die. That would have been terrible.
So the ambulance arrives. They take her blood pressure and it's high. So they decide they're going to take her to the hospital. Anne Marie offers to go with her, but instead they send a producer along with her and the lady stay behind at the church. Sutton says, let's go in and go light our candles and set intentions. While they're walking in, Doree quietly says to her, is it okay if I don't light a candle? And in her talking head, she says that Jewish people do not pray in churches and that she can set an intention anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a church. I don't really know a lot about the Jewish religion, but I did notice that Kyle, who was kneeling and praying in the church, and she converted to Judaism. So I was a little confused as to why one wouldn't and one would, but I guess everybody practices different. Yeah. I just kind of thought it was interesting. We see Kyle and Sutton talking. Sutton tells her that a friend of hers had a dream about her father the other day, and that in the dream, her father said, Sutton was right, I was tired. And Kyle tells Sutton, yeah, I just had a psychic tell me that Lorraine doesn't know what happened to her. And Sutton's like, well, you know, you're never going to get those answers, and that Lorraine is at peace now. And then Sutton apologizes for not being a better friend. It was really nice to see them connect on that level.
Yeah. I agree. The show is actually kind of, even though it's not the most exciting housewife show, it is blossoming into like some good friendships and like watching that. And that is interesting. I like it at least. I don't know about everyone else. But
so they leave the church and they head down to Barcelona to have lunch and to shop. On the way down, Crystal calls Anne Marie from the hospital, which I found interesting that of all the people that she called, it was Anne Marie.
You know, it made sense though. Anne Marie is the intellectual authority in the room. By
she's
giving
the
her
person.
The prognosis, Anne Marie's the best person to convey it. Plus, it's frankly, as we learned later, it was clearly probably a show of respect because Crystal was very impressed.
She was.
With how Anne-Marie stepped up and stepped in.
Yeah. So she tells Anne-Marie that they gave her some anti-nausea medication and then also medication to get her blood pressure to come down and that she will meet them back at the house. They sit down for lunch and they all toast to Crystal getting better. Kyle brings up how it's funny how they went from yelling at each other last night to Anne-Marie stepping in and helping Crystal today. Anne-Marie says that she takes her profession very seriously. I was like, well, I kind of hope so, because I believe you take some sort of code of ethics or something like that, don't you? You'll help anybody regardless of their blah, 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 blah.
I'm not a doctor, and nor do I play one on TV.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they take, although she's not a doctor. She's a, what is it? Anna, I can't say. She's a nurse.
Anesthesial magic?
I don't know. Anyway.
Abracadabra nurse.
Erica says, well, after today, I can't imagine her saying anything like that again to you. And I think it's funny. That is just how life works. And everybody agrees. Garcelle then says she wants to take this moment to bring up Taco Tuesday again and how Dorit talked to her that night and how it really upset her. Dorit tells her, you know, when I said what I said, it wasn't about race. It had nothing to do with that. And then she brings up how Garcelle called her a Karen. And I'm not really sure why all of this was brought up again, because we already saw them talk about this, and I thought they had already agreed to move forward. And we even saw Garcelle say to Sutton, we're going to be fine. So I was like, okay, why are they bringing this up again? Yeah. Anyways.
Garcelle, I thought we had already covered it.
Yeah. Garcelle tells them that she doesn't believe that anybody in the group is racist, but there are certain things that make her feel a certain way and that Dorit lives a sheltered life. Dorit then brings up about being Jewish and how as a child she experienced anti-Semitism. Anyway, they seem to hug it out again.
Again, I think that maybe it's just two people processing it, and it was really a positive discussion. It was a very positive discussion.
It really was, and they both, like Dorit finally was like, finally understanding.
I don't know. I've never been through anything like that.
No, I haven't either.
So it's like, I guess it seems positive and they seem like they're better friends for it. So
yeah.
Good.
Well, I feel like the whole table was better for it.
Yeah. And I think that's...
Because even Kyle was like, thank you for explaining that to us so we can understand. Or she said something along those lines.
Right. I think they all just want to be on an even playing field where everyone's comfortable.
Right. Anyway, so the ladies want to go shopping and Sutton says, well, we have to go back to the house. So she puts them on a 3-minute timer. And so we see them, they're all like, oh, no problem. I'll go in and I'll find stuff in 2 seconds. We see them all running around buying stuff. Kyle buys a ring that doesn't fit her. At first, I think you, was it me or you that said, why would she buy a ring that doesn't fit her? And I was like, well, I guess she could give it to one of her daughters.
Well, she also admitted she had a shopping problem before she bought the ring.
That's true.
And I would tend
she
to
has
think,
a lot of girls. Somebody
I
will
would
find
tend to think that's
aware.
The reason.
So they go back to the house and they go check on Crystal. Crystal's in bed and she tells them, yeah, my blood pressure was really high. And I guess it runs in her family, but she's never had it this badly. So she thanks them all for being there for her. And she kind of starts to cry. And she's like, you know, it was really scary facing my own mortality and thinking about, oh my God, if I die, you know, I've got these little kids at home and I'd be leaving my family. I get it. And she's in another country. That's got to be scary.
Yep. That's why I don't leave the house.
Okay.
That and my PlayStation 5.
So she tells him that she's going to take it easy and she's not going to drink the rest of the trip. Also, I wonder how, like, flying for however many hours it'll take for her to get home. I wonder if they'll have to put her on, like, special medication or whatever. Although, it's not a blood clot that she's got. It's high blood pressure. Because I know, like, people who have that deep vein thrombosis.
Probably not too expensive to actually just fly home with a nurse. They seem to have the means to do
that. Oh, yeah,
that's what I would
true.
Do. I would just buy an extra plane seat and have a nurse come home
come
with
home
me.
With you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so they're all getting ready for the paella dinner. Crystal calls Rob and he tells her that she needs to take it easy. We see Kyle calling Mo and he is in the car and it's dark so she can't see anything again.
Well, hold on now. To be fair, I don't think Mo's ready to introduce us to his new girl.
Or to Kyle. He's not ready
well,
to.
Clearly he doesn't want
he
Kyle.
He doesn't want to
here,
introduce her to
but
Kyle.
But he was like, he's probably, up, 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 up.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Lean over that way so you can't get in the screen. Well, it is funny because when they were in Vegas, she called him and it was all dark. Remember? She's like, it's all dark. I can't see you. And now again, it's all dark.
Oh,
she can't see him.
Man. Once.
Yeah.
Twice. 3 times a cheater. I know, Mo.
And then she asks how the dogs and the kids are, and the call cuts off. So that's kind of it. We don't see anything more. Erica is
Mo
getting
Mo is a dirty dog.
Yeah. Erica is getting her glam, and she's already drunk.
Yeah.
She's sitting in the chair having another drink. I guess she drank at lunch, then she had drinks when the glam came over, and now she's drinking while she's getting her glam done.
Yeah.
So by the time she gets downstairs, she's already three sheets to the wind. Trevor arrives with the other guests, and he meets everybody, including a drunk Erica. She's like, ah!
You mean Drerica?
No, the Oracle. She's the Oracle.
She is the Oracle.
She's like, oh, you're the Trevor I keep hearing about. And it's funny because Sutton kept like looking over at her like,
what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to say? Please don't embarrass me.
Well, I like Trevor, actually.
I did too.
He certainly seemed like he had a thick skin, and he would probably enjoy Erica in any state.
Any form of Erica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely like to see more of Trevor. He was cool.
Yeah. Well, he lives in Barcelona, so I think that's it. Unless he comes to...
It's a plane ticket, Trev. Come on over, man. You were entertaining, bro.
Storm tells them that it's time that they get ready to come watch them cook the paella. Garcelle and Crystal go over, and they're talking to Storm, and another gentleman is standing there with him, and he starts talking, and it turns out that it's Storm's father. Garcelle mumbles to Crystal, I think I'm going to go for the dad. But she kind of said it loud enough that the dad and Storm heard it. They kind of started laughing. I was like, they heard that, right? Because they're standing right in front of her. I think I'm going to go for the dad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they were not church mice, quiet as.
No. Crystal says, yeah, I knew that. I'm like 10 minutes ahead of you.
That was funny. Yeah.
Garcelle tells us in her talking head that she could see herself moving to Spain, learning to speak the language, marrying Stormy's daddy, and being a stepmom to Stormy.
She's
and
literally then, describing porn.
And then point. She says, I may need to burp him or breastfeed him.
And then she was literally describing porn.
I was like,
porn. Yeah, no.
Okay, that's weird.
She was throwing out porn scenarios at that point. Yeah, I was just like...
Garcelle is a horny lady.
Jeez Louise.
Damn, girl.
Yep. She's got an itch that...
she needs a scratch.
She needs to scratch that itch.
Yeah. So it's now time to eat. So they all sit down. Poor Trevor is stuck sitting next to Dorit. She tells him that she needs to hear everything about Sutton. So he's telling them that Sutton was mean to him when they first met and that he used to throw paper clips at her. I was like, well, if someone was throwing paper clips at me, I might not be very nice to them. But anyway, he says that she always acted like she was in charge, even though she wasn't. He tells us that Sutton used to live in Brooklyn. And Erica yells out, Brooklyn, what a dump.
Yep,
and the look on Sutton's face. Sutton says, yeah, I was poor, and when I lived in Brooklyn, I used to go and buy $5 dresses. Dorit and her talking head says, it's nice to hear that she wasn't always wealthy. She just likes to pretend that she was. I was like, ew, Dorit.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, when you pretended you were English with your accent that faded in
that goes
out,
in and out?
You know,
she's really bugging me this season. She started out strong, like in the first couple episodes, like her confessionals were really good. And now I can't stand her.
Yeah, she's a pill.
Yeah. So we find out that Sutton met her husband when she was 14. So I guess they were childhood sweethearts.
How old was he?
I don't know. Trevor tells them that they used to have so much fun when they were with Merce. And at this point, drunk Erica tells Trevor that Sutton keeps Merce in a Ziploc bag.
Hence the song, yeah.
And then we see everyone's like, maybe you just put it like in a silk pouch or whatever. And then Sutton's like, they give you, and they do. When they give you the ashes of a person, if you don't pay to have the box or whatever made, they literally give it to you in a giant plastic bag. She's like, you know, like the kind you buy a fish in. And I'm like, she's totally correct. Now, that doesn't mean you keep it in a little tiny baggie for however many years she had them. But
you can actually, I'm almost positive, have it put in the urn that you buy at the crematorium or wherever it's cremated so that's what they hand you, not some...
But they don't keep it in the bag? Because what if the lid comes off?
I think it's still in the bag, but you can buy something to put the bag in. Or you can bring something. If this is someone that's so important to you, right? I'm just saying. Maybe get a can of some kind.
Well, and you also don't...
What about one of those big, like, cookie cans?
You know also don't use him to knock on the door.
Get, like,
remember
some
she knocked on the Garcelle's door with Merce?
Yeah. No, you could have been... It could have been fun. You could have gone out and got one of those big cans of caramel and cheese popcorn.
Oh, okay. Now we're going too far. Put them in a...
And then put the urn
popcorn
in
popcorn tin. Come on.
No, put the Ziploc bag in the popcorn tin. At least now he's in some kind of canister in his
Ziploc bag. The envelope is like this big. You're going to put it in one of those giant popcorn tins that...
You said giant popcorn tin.
Well, that's what they come in.
They come in regular size
tins. No, they come in those big...
For you, they do, yes. Okay. But for other people, they come in other normal sizes.
So everybody is talking, and all the guests that Trevor brought are very well-traveled. They've all lived around the world. Erica's 100% keeping up with everything they're talking about. Erica tells us in her talking head that even though she doesn't have a college education, that she's used to dining with erudites from being married to Tom, and that she has a general thirst for knowledge. So she asks a lot of questions, and this is how...
She's smart.
Yeah, she is smart.
She's a very smart
for
person.
For sure. And you don't need a college education.
To be smart?
No. I mean, you can absorb from anywhere, right?
Can sit through a class, read a book, and absorb data that way. There's 8 billion of us, everyone. Bad news. It doesn't always, you know, people learn their own way. Erica's very, very smart.
Yeah. I mean, I have a college education, and look at me. I'm not very smart.
You're smarter than me. I'd say you're smarter than me.
I'm just kidding. I'm smart. But I don't use my college education, so whatever. At one point, Garcelle just looks over at Erica and she says, "Who are you? It's impressive." And Erica tells her, "That's a long story." I was like, oh my God, I love this, Erica.
She did, yeah.
Sutton starts talking and Erica yells out, "Merce is in the purse." And Sutton, everyone just kind of looked like...
What? Kudos to Sutton for holding it together, because in other episodes, she didn't.
So I
thought she really held herself very well.
Well, her and Erica are like...
They are.
Yeah, like they have that new friendship.
Right. Well, but in the past, she hasn't, you know, held it together. I was really proud of how she held it together last night, because I would have been like, what the heck?
Yeah. Sutton tells everybody that she can't wait to go spread Merce's ashes around Spain, because I guess this area was very important to him. So they stand up, they toast, and they end the night. We see Kyle on the prowl for chocolate, which I totally related to. I've been there, like, looking through cabinets, like, oh my God, there has got to be a piece of chocolate somewhere in this house. Erica is up in Garcelle's room, standing on her bed. And she comes in, and she's like, "Hey, you need to get out, because Stormy's dad is coming." And she was like, "Oh, really?" And she's like, "No, I'm just kidding."
She said it again.
Yeah,
and she said it, like, to the camera. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
The next morning, we see Erica, and she is hungover. She's like, "I have a headache." I was like, "No, duh."
Dude, Erica looked like a stamped-out cigarette that morning.
She did.
No offense, Erica. I love you. I hope you know I do. And we've all been there.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
That morning is why I stopped.
Yes.
That's why I stopped drinking.
Same.
Those mornings.
I mean, I still drink occasionally.
Now and again. If I'm in Vegas, I'm probably drinking.
I can't. I hate being hungover.
I don't want to be in Vegas and sober.
Kyle tells her how funny she was last night, and she's like, "Oh, God, what did I do?" I was like, "Oh, no." So she didn't remember. She didn't remember that Stormy had a father. She was like, "Wait, he's got a dad?" And they're like, "He was here." She didn't remember that. I was like, "Oh, my gosh."
That's right.
So Garcelle goes to Crystal's room, and she's taking her blood pressure, and it's still high. Garcelle's like, "Well, it's okay that it's not going down. It doesn't go down overnight. It does take time for the medicine to work." I was like, oh man, this poor girl, she's only 40 years old. And she's like in good shape. And
yeah,
she's having severe blood pressure problems.
So didn't you say?
It's genetic. So her mom has it. I have a friend who's got it. Her mom has it really bad.
Yeah.
So it's definitely genetic.
So if it's genetic, then... what's the genetic root cause, right? So is it from diet?
Know.
Is it from something? Is it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, genes.
Is it a genetic defect? And is that genetic defect then a reaction to, for instance, too much bread? We don't, you know what I'm
no,
saying?
I
Who
know.
Knows, right?
Yeah.
Now that we know that it's that.
Well, it can be genetic. It can also be caused from unhealthy lifestyle, whatever. She obviously doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Right, I know. Hers is a genetic.
100 people would look at that woman and go, "She's healthy."
Right. So we see Sutton go to Kyle's room, and she has like these, I guess they were Lays. They were like flowers that were like a lay of flowers, and they were of white carnations. And she's like, "These are for when the ceremony is over. We can release the lays into the ocean with whatever you want to let go." And in the after show, we found out that apparently Dorit didn't really want to put the lay on and didn't want to put it in the ocean because she was worried about polluting the ocean with not necessarily the flowers, but I guess the plastic that was holding the flowers all together. Then in Sutton's part of the after show, she was like, "Everything that those flowers were made out of were biodegradable. I used to sit on the board of some ocean thing. And then she goes, of course I did. I'm a socialite. And I was like, uh-oh, doesn't that mean you're not really a socialite, according to Crystal, if you bring up how you're a socialite? But anyways, I guess everything that these lays were made out of were biodegradable. Also, but
did she say that at the beach?
I guess she told, I don't know if she must have told her off camera, or we haven't seen her give Dorit hers yet.
Oh, okay.
She was just in Kyle's room. This was on the after show.
Okay. Okay.
And then also, I guess Crystal was also weirded out by the lei because it was all in white flowers. And I guess in the Chinese culture, white means death, which I had no idea that was a thing. And Sutton said the same thing. I had no idea when she told me that. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Take it off, right? Like, so I don't know if we're going to see that.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be funny though if Sutton's chasing her around the room? No, put it on!
No. That would be incredibly disrespectful.
No, she doesn't know. And then as soon as she sees it, she takes it off.
But
just because Sutton, you know, sometimes can get a little crazy.
Yeah. We see Dorit talking to Jagger, and she tells us that PK is in London again and that her mom is with the kids, so it's fine. But she's like, you know, I really don't travel much, so why couldn't he just be at home? And I was like, yeah, that is kind of weird how he is always in London.
He's in London a lot.
Yeah. Why?
He says it's for work.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't want to be on the show?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it could be for any reason. Right? For good or bad. Right?
Yeah.
He could be telling the truth. He could be lying.
So everybody's getting ready for the day. Sutton is in her room and she starts to cry and she's getting emotional about releasing Merce's ashes. Kyle comes in and she's like, oh my God, what's wrong? And Sutton tells her, I don't want to open the ashes because there's a lot of my dad wrapped up in all of this, and how when her dad died, they spread his ashes, but they also all kept a little piece of the ashes, and she lost hers from all the moves that she did. And so she feels like releasing these ashes is somehow like releasing her dad's ashes. I don't know. And then she also said that she feels like she's scattering the ashes of her marriage. So I really feel like this whole thing is just about this chapter of her life that is ending. And releasing the ashes are just kind of a closing to this chapter.
So I wonder, everyone grieves differently.
Right.
But it sounds like she is obviously, and she even said it's an emotional attachment.
Right.
So what that means is there's a real attachment of this mentor who's meant so much to her and portrayed as a father figure to her, which then reminds her of her father, right? And then the father and then the men in her life, and then that naturally relates to the husband.
She said that, actually.
Yeah, she exactly said that.
Yeah, the three men and like important men in my life.
Now, you know, you made an interesting comment.
Father, my husband, and this mentor I had, and now all the major men in my life are gone. But I was like, well, you still have your son, who's a man, or is going to be a man.
Well, her kids.
Yeah, and her kids.
Yeah, her son.
But I get it. It's not...
She was in the moment.
Yeah.
In that moment, she had realized that what are supposed to be the three positive male forces in your life
are all gone.
Are gone now.
Right.
Whether they're positive, negative, whatever, they're gone.
Right.
And they're gone emotionally now too, because she got rid of the one physical thing that she attached them
to.
Which was the ashes.
So Kyle tells her, you know, I totally get it. And that is how the episode ends. Next week, we see them all standing at the place where Sutton is spreading the ashes. And it's kind of like over the sidewalk into a cliff area, which I'm like, that's not going to turn out well. And we see she tries to spread them and some of them blow back, and the ladies go running, and we hear Crystal say, oh my God, it's all over Garcelle's back.
It was like watching the Big Lebowski. It was. I said, watch it. She's going to smack it off into the wind.
You can't just drop it off of a cliff and think that's not going to poof back at you. You know, of course some of it's going to poof back.
Oh, man.
Poor Garcelle. She's probably like, oh, my God, the things I do for this show.
Garcelle, I love you. Please don't quit, because that would make me quit.
It would make me cry.
I'm out.
I'd be like, I have there's not a number.
You can't write a number that big that lets me go through that. That was like a fear factor. That's like fear factor.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to spray this 100-year-old dust on you.
We also see Kyle talking to Dorit about how Mo is not putting in effort to work through their marital issues, but he has the time to put into his work. So I think maybe now we're going to start seeing some of the stuff that they picked up filming after they had stopped, and then it came out that they were separating, and where they started doing the pickup scenes. So
So I thought they were doing the pickup scenes earlier, but
they might have. They probably mixed some in just to throw in the whole Mauricio and Kyle are having issues. But I feel like now this is kind of where we're going to start seeing the deterioration of their marriage or whatever this is. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so it looks like the next couple episodes are probably going to be about that, if I had to take a wild guess. And then...
and poor Garcelle going through a Fear Factor episode. Oh, girl.
Overall, though, I really like their trip to Spain. It's been pretty good. Erica's super entertaining this season.
She is. She's having a good season.
Anyways, that is all we have for you guys for The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I hope you guys all have a great weekend. I will be back on Wednesday with my recap of Vanderpump Rules. And then Thursday, we will be back with Beverly Hills. So we'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Take care, everyone. Good night.
I don't know what happens to Erica when she gets drunk, but she suddenly becomes like the world's oracle.